punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Jancy Ripito. My partner in crime. Even your mother put that on Facebook, that we were partners in crime. she better watch out. Deer season's here. So, anyway, welcome back to the show, Miss Jancy.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Anyway, right now, I'm going to check out. Oh, there it is. Check out some temperatures around the area. It looks like Camargo, you're the hot spot in the state. You and Butler, 56 degrees. Hollis, 52. Hobart, a little chilly at 49. Slapout is 52. Beavers, 47. And clear over there by Helena. Between Lahoma and Cherokee, you guys are somewhere around 47 degrees. And down around Frederick, I think, yep, down there, it's 51 degrees. Anyway, welcome to the show. We got a lot to talk about today. So let's just start out with deer season. You started rattling off Carter to me before the show, so we might as well. As most of you know, the official gun season starts Saturday morning, half hour before daybreak. And as most of you know, Jancy is an avid deer hunter, and so is her little brother. Now, I don't know if they call what he does deer hunting or not, but he is. When we was thrashing peanuts over there on your paws, he was just up and down the road with corn sacks and all kinds of things going on down there, and he could care less what we were doing. And so, anyway, but you said something that was interesting to me. So you said where you hunt, where you shot your deer last year on the show Outdoor Oklahoma, you said Carter decided to call dibs on that.
Yeah, the other morning he was like, "Sis, I hate to tell you, but I called dibs on our place on the river since that's where you killed your deer last year."
So what was his reasoning behind he thought he could just, who'd he call dibs with?
I don't know, me, I guess.
So it's not like you guys don't have anywhere else to hunt.
Oh, right. I was holding
on. All you got to do is call your grandpa. Say, "Grandpa, Carter messed me up. Got any place to go? I'm sure that'll work really good." You can go down there behind my house.
Yeah, they won't be real hard to find somewhere else to sit.
And are you seeing action?
Yeah, a lot. Every morning, every evening, you could see them from our back porch. You can't go anywhere without almost hitting, you know, 100, but...
Or some hitting you.
Or some hitting me.
I heard. Sorry. It happens.
Yeah.
That road from you guys' house all the way around by Joe and Kelly's up to my house, it's crazy.
Yeah, I got T-boned by a doe a couple weeks ago, so yeah.
Got it fixed yet?
No. Next couple weeks we'll have it fixed. There's a pretty good dent in the side of it.
Well, yesterday morning, in a 2-mile stretch, I seen 7 bucks chasing does. I seen a group of 4 bucks, which was kind of out of the ordinary. They're kind of easily sorted off because these were pretty nice bucks, and they were looking. And then this morning, I was headed west to Carter down there to feed the landlord's cows for him, and bam, there's a monster come out. I bet he weighs 250. And he's probably got a 150, 160 rack on him, but he's so big bodied. Then I went over to my landlord's other place to feed those cows over there in the Red Hills, and I posted a video on Facebook. He was out in the open chasing her, so I got to take a really nice video. And I posted on Facebook, "You might as well stop, I'm going to catch you." And so, anyway, but so deer action is in full blast, and it couldn't come at a better time. And I got a report actually from the Wildlife Department to talk about in that here just in a little bit. And then I think Lieutenant James Edwards, do you know him?
I do not.
You know, you never met James?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's our Forrest Gump of the game wardens. But he's a lieutenant. He's coming on tomorrow to talk about some safety because there has been some rules change in there, and there's it's legal now to do some thermal hunting with hogs and coyotes now, I believe, at night. I'll let him explain all that tomorrow because sure as heck, I say something, somebody will get caught, and he'll say, well, Jimmy on Today in Ag said it was cool. No, we don't need that. But anyway, he'll be on tomorrow, and wish everybody good luck. Opening day, Saturday morning. And then, what is up with this getting out the whole week a school for Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I figured we would just have a couple of days out, but we're out all next week.
And what does that mean to you?
More deer hunting.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so yeah, it's here. I hadn't even thought about hunting, to be honest with you. And that's very unusual for me. But anyway, after today, got things wrapped up around there on the river, I'll be more in the mood to do a little bit of more deer hunting going on. Maybe. We'll see. I didn't buy a deer tag yet, so I guess I better get that done. Anything going on with your FFA chapter at Merritt?
All we have upcoming is the FFA and 4-H Christmas party. That's December 13th, and it's going to be in the new Ag Barn.
How is the new Ag Barn? I've never been in it.
It's really nice. It's a lot bigger than our previous one that we still have. It that we didn't tear it down, but it's a lot bigger and nicer than the one we had.
So you guys still utilizing the old one?
Yeah, the old one we use a lot for storage, and then like this year we added horticulture, so we're going to be growing a bunch of our, produce in there. And then the cheerleaders use it a lot for like parade float decorations.
When's that start, the horticulture stuff?
We ordered hydroponic systems, and what those are is ways to grow things without soil, and those just came in, so we're fixing to start growing stuff.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what are we growing? I know you're not growing a medical marijuana, but what?
No, we have Miss Newman, which is our new second ag teacher, ordered a pack of about 60 different seeds, ranging from vegetables to flowers and herbs and all kinds of different stuff.
What if I gave you one of them 250-pound watermelon seeds?
I believe we have watermelon seeds.
Do you have 250-pound ones?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, I might get that. I've been saving it for, I ordered some, and they're not cheap. I ordered some for your grandpa and me, because you know how he likes his strip next to the peanut field down there, cantaloupes and watermelons. So anyway, I'm pretty sure Carter will probably win the watermelon
at the fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get that going on. And so anyway, I know I thanked you, but I'm going to thank you in public now. But that deal, was that the student council that put that on?
Yes.
Yeah, what you guys put on last Friday for Veterans Day at Merritt was very touching. It was very wonderful. The speech that Billy Bashaw gave was really moving.
It was wonderful, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a really good job. You could tell that his daughter was super proud of him.
Georgia, yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was super proud of him. So that was a good deal. But I heard they was a lot of good deals put on by a lot of schools. But I got to go to yours because your mom invited me, not you.
She asked me, she said, are you going to call? I said, I'm going to call Jimmy. And then I walked out in the living room and she's like, oh, I already texted him. And I was like, oh, okay.
Is that the way that went?
Yes. I was like, okay.
Was she put it out that she was tired of waiting on you. So it was a whole minute.
No.
So anyway, all right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we come back. Thanksgiving is coming up next week, and Jancy's got a little article she wants to talk to you about cost on Thanksgiving. It's funny. I just seen the same article posted by Monty Tucker on Oklahoma Farm Bureau. I beat you to it, Monty. Anyway, the new Penny News is out. Came hot off the press. It was delivered this morning. So pick up your Penny News, and then when we get back, I'll tell you what. Mr. Jerry Nine from the Woodward Livestock Auction said. And actually, their feeder calf sale is going on right now. And we got lots to talk about with grains and livestock. Just our normal, everyday on the farm and ranch stuff. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 11th. 2,598 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 338 brought 246. 29 at 451 brought 220. 6 at 496 brought 186. 8 at 685 brought 155. 5 head of heifers at 260 brought 202. 11 at 462 brought $1.69. 19 at 528 brought $1.65. 8 at 601 brought 159.50. 15 at 637 brought 155. 24 at 735 brought 176. 8 at 987 brought 140.50. Butcher cows were 5 to 89.50. Butcher bulls 45 to 97. Bred cows were 600 to 1610. Pairs brought 1085 to 1825. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, it's not too late. If you missed the last couple times I talked about it, if you can get to the county barn there at Sayre, they've got the afternoon segment going on with the pesticide fate and off-target movement going on from 1 to 4 o'clock at the barn. 3 CEUs are available. Hurry. You can listen to the show all the way to the fair barn, and then you can wait till 1 minute till when I shut off the show and walk in there. Also, it's happening down in Harmon County also. Understanding the factors that affect herbicide fate, everything you wanted to know about herbicide drift, and how the Mesonet can assist you with pesticide applications. That session is going on, will be going on here in about 40 minutes, and 3 CEUs also available for there. You could probably get a hold of the extension office there in Harmon County, 580-688-3584. And they also have two more classes coming up. You can get 6 CEUs by attending all day. They give you an hour off for lunch. What else do you need? Anyway, December 13th, they'll have a morning session. Private applicator testing versus CEUs. How the plant disease and insect diagnostic laboratory can assist you. On and on. And then that afternoon, herbicide label updates. Where we're going, reading and interpreting a pesticide label and preparing to take the certified applicator test. And that is in Harmon County, December 13th. And one more thing, tonight at the Metcalf Museum, the OCA, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, is hosting a fall gathering there at the Metcalf Museum, which is near Durham. You cannot get lost out there. You just turn there at Black Kettle Lake and head west, and you'll get there. I promise you, there's signs up, and it starts at 6:30. If you need more information or to RSVP, go to www.okcattlemans.org or call Miss Lori Campbell at 580-273-5137. And that's tonight. So all kinds of things going on in this day and time. Anyway, what's causing all the ruckus in the world there, Jancy? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wheat, corn, and soybeans all fell in an overnight trading as the agreement allowing shipments of agricultural products from Ukraine was extended. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 17.25 to $8.20 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost $8.25 to $9.37¾ a bushel. Corn for December delivery was down 10 cents to $6.57½ a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 14.25 to $14.15 a bushel. Soy meal dropped $2.10 to $401.90 a short ton, while soybean oil lost $1.43 to $70.67 a pound. Winter storm warnings are in effect through Saturday morning in southern Michigan as more than a foot of snow is expected in the area, according to the National Weather Service. Accumulations of up to 14 inches are expected with the heaviest snow forecast for today and Saturday, said in a report early this morning by the NWS. Travel could be very difficult to impossible, the agency said. Further north along Lake Michigan, snow will taper throughout the morning, though some areas will continue to see snow showers. Winter weather advisories have been issued for much of North Dakota and parts of northern South Dakota, as snow and wind are expected today and tonight. Snow accumulations will total up to 2 inches in areas of North Dakota, while wind gusts will reach as high as 45 miles an hour. Widespread blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility, the agency said.
2 inches of snow and 45-mile-an-hour wind, that means there ain't will be no snow on the road. It'll all be in a bar ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah, there will. Well, here's your futures real quick. Corn, December, 659. Everything is in the red today but cattle, feeder, and live. So March is 660. May is 659. Soybeans, January, 1414. March, 1420. May 1426. Soybean meal right now is December 403.60, $409.90 for January, $397.40 for March. Soybean oil, December 71.86, January $69.94, and March is 68.13. Hard red winter wheat, it's down probably the most of anything today. It's down almost 20 cents at 9.36 for December, 9.26 for March. Oats, just steady, down a little bit. It's in the red, but not much. 3.95 a bushel for December and 3.92 for March. Cotton is down slightly, but still higher than it has been. Doesn't like much being 89 cents a pound, 86 cents a pound for March. Live cattle, December 152.10, February 154.60, 158.30 for April, June is 154.25, November feeder cattle 175, 72, 179, 55 for January, and my screen disappeared. There we go, back, here we go. Hogs for December 85.30 and February is 90.82. I was just looking over here during the break, and oil is down to almost $81 a barrel for West Texas intermediate crude, and natural gas is hanging in there around $6.47 per thousand cubic feet of gas. I think that's how they do that. I don't know. I was in oil field, but I didn't pay much attention to that. Now, the S&P's in the red. NASDAQ's up slightly. Dow's up a little bit also, so not too bad. Hey, is your dad in a better mood that peanut harvest is over?
Yeah, he is.
Was he happy with everything?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't tear none of his stuff up.
No, you didn't.
And Carter, what a combine operator.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they never let you, did they?
No.
We'll sneak you on next year and see you. We'll get you on Paul's. They won't even notice you over there.
No.
We'll disguise you. We'll put a cap on, put your hair up under the cap, put some sunglasses on, maybe a chew tobacco in your mouth. We'll disguise you. But he did. But Carter's got that smirk look, and you know that look I'm talking about. When he was coming by me when I was going the other direction, he just looked over there with that smirk look like, I'm bad to the bone, Jimmy. You know, I can do this. But anyway, he did a good job, though. I got to admit, he didn't tear nothing up, and everything was good. So, all right. Let's see here. I want to go over this with you guys. Do you sell your feeder calves or do you create a yearling? Feeder calf sale numbers are ramping up across South Dakota and most of the rest of the nation. Fall brings many weaning and selling time decisions. And I was 50-50. I got two sets that I'm not weaning that I'm going to sell. And then I got one set that I'm selling this coming Monday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction that's been weaned 110 days today. I checked my time, and they've been weaned 110 days today. Trying to put the numbers together. When it's all done, I'll let you guys know. These decisions may include options to sell calves at weaning, wean them, or hold them for 45 days or more, or even background till spring, or retain ownership until the calf reaches yearling or fed cattle weights. Evaluate these decisions from a business perspective, given the current feed cost and feeder cattle market. Selling or feeding, because that is what we always do. It's not an economical, sustainable situation. Feed inventories and requirements are one of the most first considerations. The South Dakota State University Extension Forage Inventory and Demand Calculator can help you with that. OSU's got one too, and I'm pretty sure K-State and Texas AgriLife's got them too. Another consideration is the drought situation. Cattle and feed inventory show many lightweight calves are going to feed. The supply and demand issue is something producers need to consider. The November feeder cattle futures contract for calves is steady with upward tendencies and remains throughout spring of 2023. At the time of this article, the March contract is trading near 180 bucks per hundredweight, and the May contract is almost $188. The October 17th feeder calf report listed 474-pound medium large number one steers sold for an average price of $234.28. Calculating that to be about $1,110 per steer. Once the feed availability evaluation and the feeder calf's potential income are determined, the cost of gains needs to be calculated. The calculation of these costs further aids the decision-making process. Now, here you go. They got one for an example. Listen up. So determine your ration to make these decisions. Usually actual cost of gain numbers is essential in the decision-making process. For illustration purposes, consider a ration that results in an average daily gain of 2 pounds per day on 500-pound steers, which costs 90 cents per pound. Here's an example, or there's two examples here. If you feed until March, you start with a 500-pound steer at 90 cents per pound times equals 150 days, 2 pounds per day, that's 300 pounds you're going to gain. 300 pounds times 90 cents, it costs you $270 just for feed. That's $1,110 for that steer plus $270, $1,380 to break even. All right, so you're going to sell this steer at 800 pounds times $182. That equals $1,456 income. The difference in the two, you made $76. So if you got a lot of them, that's good. But here's another deal. If you feed until May a 500-pound steer, that's 210 days on feed. Your 2 pound per day gain is 420 pounds times 90 cents. You end up having $378 in feed cost. $1,110 plus 420 equals 1488 to break even. 920 pound steer when you sell it times 180 per hundredweight equals 1656. You double your profit by keeping it 2 extra months. As long as you're paying attention to the market. You got to pay attention to the market. So anyway, I just want to let you guys know that's if you keep them, that's what it's going to end up costing you as long as the feed prices are stable or go down. If they go up, you could be in the hole real easy. And when Chancey and I come back after this break, we're going to talk turkey. How's that?
Sounds good.
Can you gobble?
I can't.
Can you sound like a crow?
I don't think so.
Hoo, hoo. No, that's an owl. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 14th. 1,389 head were sold. 65 head of steers at 488 brought 188. 4 at 581 brought 149. 4 brought 177.50. 18 at 758 brought 178. 66 at 813 brought 177.75. 5 at 854 brought 175. 11 head of heifers at 335 brought 170. 4 at 375 brought 179. 6 at 436 brought 172, 19 at 549 brought 156, 7 at 756 brought 161, 18 at 896 brought 152, butcher cows were 50 to 8250, butcher bulls 59 to 92, pairs were 1000 to 1600, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
I always tell my customers if they have a problem with my beef to tell me, but if they love it and enjoy it, tell everybody. Well, this is Monty, and I just want to encourage everybody out there to enjoy beef and eat beef. And if you have an opportunity, look into buying a half or a whole beef from a local producer like me. It's born and raised and fed right there in Sweetwater, Oklahoma. It's processed locally. We're a third-party verified, all natural, and I guarantee it to be good. Look us up on Facebook, Tucker Family Beef.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center in our studio, it's 53 degrees and the winds are 7 to 8 miles an hour. I can't tell what direction the wind out of. Does it say on your screen? I can't see this one. Out of the south?
Yeah, mine's showing the south.
Yeah. Sorry, anyway, what is the northwestern Oklahoma, southern Kansas, and northeastern Texas panhandle forecast? You got it?
I do. So currently, I'm doing the forecast for Woodward, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 52 degrees.
That's northwestern Oklahoma.
I was just making sure.
You're a senior in high school. Come on.
Just making sure before I read the wrong thing. Currently, it's 52 degrees in Woodward. Tomorrow's 20% chance of snow showers before noon, cloudy with a high near 31, north-northeast winds 5 to 9 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 17. Saturday, sunny with a high near 44, north-northwest winds 6 to 14 miles an hour with gusts as high as 21 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 22. Sunday, sunny with a high near 53, and that night, mostly clear with a low around 29. Monday, sunny with the high near 57. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 32. Tuesday, sunny with the high near 60. Tuesday night's partly cloudy with a low around 36. And Wednesday is partly cloudy with the high near 57.
So if you enjoy cold weather deer hunting, enjoy Saturday because it's going to warm up from there. It always happens during deer season. It's either miserable cold or it's hot. And so, anyway, this weekend looks like a great weekend to be done. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you. We are live on 96.5 KECO, KWFX 100.1, Facebook, KECO's page. We are on the website, also KECOFM.com, and you can even listen to us on the Paragon app. It's a free download on your iPhone. Well, Thanksgiving's coming up, and it doesn't look like anything got cheaper, did it?
No, it does not.
What does it say?
So, my article says, Thanksgiving's a wonderful time for family and friends to gather together. But with inflation on the rise, it's no surprise that grocery bills will be much higher for those putting out the spread this year. The American Farm Bureau's annual Thanksgiving survey shows the average cost of a classic meal for a family of 10 in 2022 is $64.05, just under $6.50 per person. This is a 20% increase from last year's meal price of $53.31 for a family of 10 and a 36% increase from 2020. The centerpiece on most Thanksgiving tables, the turkey, cost more than last year at $28.96 for a 16-pound bird. That's $1.81 per pound, up 21% from last year. The only menu item to see a decrease this year was a bag of fresh cranberries.
Whoopee, on the cranberries.
Yay for cranberries. Inflation is to blame for the majority of this year's price increases. General inflation has been running 7 to 9% in recent months, while the most recent Consumer Price Index report for food consumed at home reveals a 12% increase over the past year, says the AFBF Chief Economist Roger Kryan. In addition to inflation, supply chain issues and higher commodity prices have also driven food prices higher. Despite the higher commodity prices, farmers are also experiencing the pain of higher prices. Fuel prices have doubled since this time in 2021, and fertilizer prices have tripled. Farmers only receive 8 cents of every retail dollar spent on food. This means farmers see roughly $5.12 out of the total $64.05 spent on this year's Thanksgiving feast.
That's quite a number.
Yeah, it is. Farmers are working hard to meet growing demands for food, both here in the U.S. and globally, while facing rising prices for fuel, fertilizer, and other inputs. Higher turkey costs can be attributed to a smaller flock this year due to avian influenza, increased feed costs, and lighter processing weights. Despite these challenges, turkey production is only down 2% from 1 year ago. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, producers prioritized building up supplies of whole hens in time for Thanksgiving. August cold stocks of whole hens, the birds typically serve for Thanksgiving dinner, were 12% higher than the same time last year, but still remain below the five-year average. Kind notes that turkey supply should be adequate for consumers through the holiday season, but there may be temporary regional shortages in states where avian influenza was detected earlier this year. The Farm Bureau reported that without turkey factored in, the meal cost just 6.6% more than last year.
But guess what?
What?
Beef. It's what's for Thanksgiving.
I'd be fine with that.
I know I will be. I was just reading into some stuff while you was reading that. Here it goes. Beef. It's what's from Thanksgiving. This from Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State University Extension. He came out with this the other day. Beef, it's what's for dinner is an American advertising slogan and marketing campaign aimed at promoting the consumption of beef. The ad campaign, originally launched in 1992, has been long-lived, highly effective, and award-winning. The slogan is said to be recognized by more than 88% of Americans. Have you ever heard that? Beef. What's for dinner?
I have. Oh, yes, I have.
Yes,
heard that.
You better answer that. Yes, you've heard that. Not for Thanksgiving, but for dinner.
But for dinner.
Yeah. Anyway, so he borrowed this title for his well-known phrase. Anyway, Thanksgiving is a time when Americans come together to celebrate a holiday that connects each and every one of us. President Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Alexander Hamilton, all the big dogs in the politics in America have been involved in this Thanksgiving deal one way or another. Well, if your answer is not so much considering grilling or pan frying, middle meats from the beef carcass like ribeye, strip loin, filet, sirloin steaks are very tender and can be cooked quickly at high temperatures on the grill or stovetop to seal in the tenderness or the juiciness and the flavor. So if you intend to grill or pan fry steaks, remember to give them adequate time to thaw. Burgers made from ground beef are also great when grilled or pan fried. You know the secret to a good steak?
What?
Is to let it air out of the fridge. If you got it in the fridge, it needs to stay out on the counter for about 30 minutes to breathe before you put it on the grill. That's a secret. Not everybody knows that. And so, anyway, it's good to do that. If you have more time to spend in preparing, smoking or oven roasting can result in the same tender beef flavor that you look for. Roast from the chuck or round can be seasoned and slow cooked to bring out the melt in your mouth flavor. And my wife did cook a chuck roast last week, and man, slow cooked it in a slow cooker, same thing. Anyway, it was really good. And you can purchase that meat at a lower price. Ground beef is also less expensive. So anyway, this year on Thanksgiving, I want to say thanks to American farmers, ranchers, and everyone in the production of agriculture that make it possible. And myself, I want to personally thank all the people that support our farmers and ranchers, like go and buy beef local, get it processed local, and we appreciate everything that the consumer does to help the farmers and the ranchers be successful. Anyway, when we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And it looks kind of chilly tomorrow and the next day, but next week looks like we're back to where we was about a week or 10 days ago, 60s and 50s. And anyway, it's going to – actually, we need it. We need the rye and the wheat to, after the snow, to green up a little bit and grow a little bit, so we'll have some good winter forage. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
When you shop locally for Christmas, you not only give, you receive. You receive great service from people who know you, and you receive the added value of helping our local economy. Shop locally this year. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Gift you get from giving, not the one you receive.
We took a veterans monument to Driftwood, Texas. It's near Austin. They couldn't find anyone that would work with them. And so he called, and we said, well, there's going to be quite a delivery charge on that because we set most of everything that we do here. And he said, I don't care. I said, I want you to do my monument. I saw what you did on the website. End of 1 week, John and I loaded up, and we took it to Driftwood, Texas, and actually did the installation for them. And they were so happy. We got a letter from them, and they'd had a write-up. They were celebrating this little cemetery had had probably 90% of the people there were veterans from Civil War on up. Every year they have an event where they honor their veterans that are buried in this little cemetery. You never know where people are going to call from. We get calls from all over the United States. Willis Granite Products is the name of our company. We're contacted through our website, willisgranite.com.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18-ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Look at Lincoln Boulevard.
Okay.
It's a brand new facility there. It's a couple years older. We're talking about the wildlife headquarters. FYI, if you guys wanted to nose in on our business. Hey, I got a text in there in the, not a Texas, but a text in on the hotline, ag hotline. Huh. If I left my steak on the counters, my cats would be so happy. Well, I mean, It's not for everybody, all right? That's funny. All right. Who am I going to do for Southwestern Oklahoma? Let's go with Willow, Oklahoma. How about that? Forecast. They don't have a mezzanine center, but there's one really close to them. And there we go. All right, the winds are out of the west, southwest at 11 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 15. Humidity is 39%. It's sunny, 57 degrees currently right now. Tonight, 26. The winds will be switching sometime during the night out of the northeast at 18 miles an hour. Tomorrow, cloudy and cold, 35 for a high. Northeast winds, 13 to 15 miles an hour. That'll get them bucks fired up. That northeast wind's always got a bite to it. Feels like a knife going through you. Tomorrow night, 23 for a low. Saturday starts warming back up. Opening day of deer season, rifle, 47 degrees with northwest winds, 6 to 12 miles an hour. So, Chancey, you got to think about that. The winds will be out of the north tomorrow or Saturday. So you don't want your scent headed towards where your big buck's coming out of.
Right.
Yep. And then Saturday, 47 degrees, or Saturday night, 22 degrees. Sunday, warming back up. The winds will be out of the south, 5 to 12 miles an hour, 52 for a high. It barely gets down to freezing Sunday at Willow at 32 degrees. And Monday, high of 57 degrees. Is corn and soybean harvest almost over?
I think so.
Well, check something out and tell us how far along it is.
Okay. The United States Department of Agriculture released its 33rd crop progress report of the growing season Monday afternoon. These reports run weekly through the end of November and look at the progress and condition of various crops on a national and state-by-state scale. As of November 13th, 93% of the corn is harvested, ahead of the five-year average of 85%. In the top 18 growing corn states, corn harvest is over 90% complete in every state besides Colorado, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Soybean harvest is 96% complete. The five-year average for this point in the season is 91%. In the top 18 growing soybean states, soybean harvest is over 90% complete in every state besides Kentucky, North Carolina, and Tennessee. This week, USDA reports 96% of winter wheat has been planted. This is slightly ahead of the five-year average of 93%. Winter wheat's emergence is at 81%, on pace with the five-year average of 81%. Winter wheat condition is rated 32% good and excellent, up 2% from last week. 36% is rated fair, 32% is rated poor or very poor, down 2% from last week. Last year at this time, 46% was rated good and excellent. According to USDA, 54% of the topsoil in the 48 continental states is short or very short of moisture. This is down from 58% the week before.
Well, the new drought monitor's out. In no looky, no bueno. Most of all of Oklahoma, the biggest percentage of Oklahoma, it looks like 75% of Oklahoma is in a D3 to D4 drought still, even with the snowfall and all this other stuff we got going on. Beckham County and Ellis and Custer County, looks like you're in a D2, and down in there around Frederick and back there towards Fort Sill, still D2, but the rest of the state basically is in a D3 or D4. Southwestern Oklahoma, Jackson, Harmon, parts of Greer County, you're in a D3. But man, up there along the Kansas border and south, like from Oklahoma City north, everything is in a D3. A lot of that area is in a D4. So in Texas, the Panhandle doesn't look too bad. The far north counties in the Panhandle are in a D3. Small spot of D4 there. Basically, the rest of it's a D1, D2 in the Panhandle, so not looking too bad. Let's see what Kansas, I think, by far is probably the worst. No, it's a toss-up between Kansas and Oklahoma being the worst states in the worst drought in the whole United States right now, if that makes sense. But southwestern Kansas, Oklahoma Panhandle up there north of Woodward. It's just right in there, probably, I guess, where Beaver and Buffalo's at. You are in a D4 drought, and I didn't pay no attention. Let me see what I come up with on my secret little Long Ranger 15-day forecast. If I can get some signal in here, I got Wi-Fi. Oh, there we go. And then we got towards next Thursday and Friday, there's some chances of some moisture coming in. It's already showing 25% to 20%. Then I had somebody text me in and said the drought is starting to go away. I bet it's a good 2023. And I hope he's 100% right.
Oh, I do too.
Because I got plans. I'm doing crop experiments next year.
Like what?
You ever heard of 150 bushel wheat around here? What was that look?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to try it. And I have somebody to help me. I don't know if we'll do it, but hey, if we make 100, I'll be happy. But anyway, just trying to try something different. We tried corn. It's worked out good so far. It's another week before harvest, and there's a lot of deer, raccoons, and turkeys. Or not turkeys ain't hurting me, but the hogs. Hogs. Man, we got to get rid of some hogs. I pulled in my driveway the other day, and he probably weighed 450 pounds, just walking down that road, that dead section line, like it was nothing. And I've been moving, and I didn't have my rifle in the farm truck. It's sitting in the barn, but not no more. It's in the truck, but I'll probably not have seen. I did see this morning between Carter and, you know where the Shell Pit is up there northeast of Carter?
I do.
And between there and that place where I was feeding cattle, 7 coyotes. I figured James Edwards was out, so I didn't roll my window down and shoot. He's got eyes in the back of his head. So I walked over to the fence line. By the time I walked over to the fence line, it was done gone. I have my toes on that guy's property. So basically my chin over the fence. So officially, if your head and your toes are on the property in private land, you're officially not shooting from the road. And it's just a thought. Anyway, sounds good, didn't it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that anyway, would you?
Probably not.
No, you're too much of an angel. All right, one last thing before the show's over today. We are approaching the end of 2022 and are getting a more complete picture of beef cow and heifer slaughter and its implications for future supplies, and it does not look good. Through October 29th, heifer slaughter is up 5% this year as compared to last year. Beef cow slaughter is approximately 13% higher than a year ago. Combined, approximately 765,000 more beef cows and heifers were processed in the first 10 months of 2022 compared to the same period last year. Trend lines are often useful for forecasts of all types. Shown in the graph is above is a regression trend line, which was estimated by LMIC using the relationship between beef cow, heifer slaughter, and their prior year's inventory. The drought had a lot to do with us. Did you guys have to get rid of any?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, 2022 is shaping up to be an exceptional year. And we just know that the next cattle inventory report that is released coming up in January, there also could be revisions to the data from prior years that could affect the year-over-year changes. Regardless of all the signs point to fewer cows and heifers to calve next year and continued supply side support for stronger cattle prices, because there's a lot less cattle right now. We didn't have any hay. We didn't make any hay. Dryland farmers didn't. And got rid of cows, no grass. And then we got some seasonal or some, I don't know, different rains like in August. You know, I would have, when it rained there in late August, I wouldn't have gave you a nickel for that grass to grow. It already looked dormant. And my surprise, I'm glad I was wrong. They end up getting some good stuff going on. So what are you going to do the rest of the day?
I'm going to go back to school, and then today I'm volunteering at the Veterans Bingo for Key Club, and then at 7 we have our first annual Merit Basketball Meet the Oilers. So,
what is that?
It's just an introduction of the players and the coaches, and it's kind of a social event for everybody just to kind of have a good time. The cheerleaders will put on kind of a little routine,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, you're a little sweet cheerleader.
So I'm in it, too.
Yeah, you're in it. What's going on with the veterans? What are you doing to...
It's a meal provided for veterans at the Elk City Lodge, and then they get to play bingo after.
Oh.
And Key Club members volunteer to serve their food and play bingo with them.
Oh, don't take any of their money.
I won't.
So anyway, you guys have a great day. Thank you for joining Mr. Jimmy Clark and Miss Nancy Ripto for Today in Ag. God bless.